First, thanks to Coalition. Great honor to be here. Just want to take a little bit of your time. I was talking with Bill during lunchtime, and I got to tell you guys, I got a list of stuff here, and I'll get to some of it, but I do have a tendency to kind of speak extemporaneous, but kind of hit the hard points, because what we know is going on right now at GSA and across the federal government is a lot of velocity associated with a lot of opportunities across the federal sector. And I want to have the discussion more from an intellectual standpoint, because there are real issues associated with the acquisition workforce, our business processes, and our systems. Tell us something we don't know. When we are trying to execute, when you think about what Martha has put down, what the president has put down, when you talk about sustainability, you talk about small business programs, we talk about recovery, all of that feels right back into what you guys do. And I got to tell you a story just briefly before we go any further. I spent 26 years in the service, and so I remember as a contracting officer, and I was a young contracting officer at the time, I was at Bergstrom Air Force Base, which is now closed. It was in Austin, Texas. We had a general that was very sensitized about the appearance of the base. In most military installations, particularly Air Force bases, they really have they take good care of the infrastructure. And so I was assigned to the construction branch, and we were redoing the roads. And one day I show up at work. I had a staff of about six or seven folks, and they said, there's going to be a bus pull up outside for you in about 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, you're going on a bus ride. Now, I have no idea what is about to happen. And for you guys, a show of hand, contracting officers in the room, COs, yeah, or been there. All right, so I'm told now, and so my contract file, probably several feet thick. It was a construction project. And he says, bring your contract file. Well, I've got Mylar drawings. I've got submittals. I've got a lot of stuff here. Do you really want the whole file? Bring your contract file. I'm like, okay. Bus pulls up. As any good CO does, I grab my contract file. I'm ready to go. And I tell my team, come on, we're all going for a ride. We get on the bus. The general is there. He says, I've got issues with the construction project, and I need to know status. Well, we did weekly updates. That's not what he meant. So we proceed to go to different points in the road. This is construction, so there's stuff tore up here, there's stuff tore up there, and he comes to a spot. And he says, he points at a sewer. And, it's under construction. It's what you do if you're doing pavement. You got sub base. You got to put some more asphalt down. And he says, status. And we all kind of look around on the bus. And I stand up and I said, sir. And I had the contract file in my hand, this big hunk of paper. And he says, what's going on here? He says, we have bird baths. Now, I didn't know what bird baths were. For those of you that don't know, bird baths typically happen in concrete or asphalt when, once it settles, if there is a puddle of water and birds have a tendency to get in there and take little baths. He had a problem with how it was settling. So I said, sir, I'll need to check with the contractor, see exactly where he says, not good enough. And I tell you that story. The contract was finished on time. It was under budget. But I tell you that story because it comes back to where we are today, relationships, communication, and collaboration. And if we are not doing that across the industry, if I'm not reaching out to suppliers, to customers, federal agencies, communicating back to the Hill, then we are missing the point. Because at the end of the day, there's some CO somewhere, they may not be on a bus, but I am telling you that sense of urgency and pressure is still there. And our job, my job, is to make that day-to-day operation fun, where they want to be, and have some passion with what they do. Now, folks, that's not easy. If it were easy, then we wouldn't have acting commissioners, we wouldn't have acting ACs, and we could just all go about and do something else. When we look at what is happening today to our workforce, I was last Friday over at the White House Conference Center briefing on the sustainability and GSA. We did deliver on Section 13. I'm not going to tell you what's in the document because that's still being vetted, but GSA did have a major, major lead on the sustainability of the executive order. We briefed it, so we're doing the handoff. And inside of all of that, there was one sentence that talked about acquisition workforce. And, you know, there was the right audience there to stop and say, okay, hold on, let's talk about relationships, collaboration, and communication here. Sustainability order aside for a second. You can't say we're going to train the acquisition workforce, and I've just given you the silver bullet for how we're going to execute that. It's not true. What you need to be able to speak to is how we're going to get there. Most of you guys know Martha testified yesterday. She did ask for another $24.9 million for the acquisition workforce. Now, what that translates into my world as us reaching out, having greater breadth across the lines, how we train and start changing behavior. Some of this is fundamental behavior at the operational level. I think we understand why. Complexity of work and acquisitions going this way. Workforce experience going this way. If you do any type of scientific, quantitative analysis, you see at some point that axis, you say, okay, what do I need to do? It's not enough just to put someone into a training mode and say you've got it cured. Part of what we need to have is a real intellectual discussion on changing the behavior of the contracting officer and the contracting specialist. And that really means setting them up to succeed in a career. That means proper mentoring, education, training, and experience. No one of those elements by themselves will equate to a successful contracting officer. And to be successful, then that CO in turn can deliver the service that they need to you guys. I did sign a memorandum of agreement with the Federal Acquisition Institute. Part of the criticism that we've taken, and it's fair criticism, I'm certainly not afraid of constructive criticism, was that we don't reach out far enough to industry and to our federal agencies across the board when it talks about what type of offerings in the training area. And then exploiting some technology, Webinar 2.0, asynchronization training. So to that point, we did sign an agreement with the Federal Acquisition Institute, with DAU, trying to take our training to the next level, putting some credibility behind it, where you actually have interaction with the instructor, where you actually have learning taking place at a knowledge level, an application level, comprehension level. There are different ways and different levels of training that you want to accomplish, and then allowing the individuals to apply that. It can't be us carrying around 20 PowerPoint slides trying to go from location to location when we can get there. That won't get it done. The reach, we can't get there like that. So we need to exploit technology. We're doing that. I think you'll see our first piece of that will be a Schedules 101, how to use Schedules 101. Constant feedback that contracting officers don't really understand how to execute the language in 8. What does it mean to issue a task order with a statement of work under 8 procedures? It sounds fundamental to some, but I am telling you, we lose it at the fundamental point. And if you start thinking about the inexperience, because we do have a graying workforce, and we've put a lot of young, sharp people in a position to fail if we don't start putting in place the right tools. The training is just one component of that. When you think about the education piece, we've got a lot of that coming in. Yeah, and I'll date myself a little bit. You've seen the pendulum swing here from the days of defense acquisition workforce where we didn't have a professionalized career field, we didn't have FACSE, you had the WIA that kicked off. So there was this rush for certification, there was a rush for education. So we swing the pendulum there, we get young, sharp, bright minds. We set them down with the FAR, and we're still where? We're still that space. There's a huge void there. The execution starts failing again. It's easy to be an inspector general when you're looking at a file like that. Okay, there are throwaways. Anybody been with the IG knows there are throwaways. There's easy stuff you can do with your IG. I can come in and write you up any day on training and documentation. And I'm not saying that the IG is not doing their job. That's another relationship thing, by the way, and that's big in my world as well. And I'll talk to that just a little bit down the road. But the point is making sure that the individuals that we're asking to contact you, who's negotiating with your offer, they understand the business side of this. And it doesn't have to be, see, there's a spontaneity piece of this that you have to grow in an individual to understand that there are times when the FAR is not going to give you the answer. It's not set up to do that, in my humble opinion. It's set up to guide you in a direction so you can make an informed business decision. And that means me sitting down with you, Mr. Contractor, and I did that with the Bird Baths. Hey, tell me what your pain point is, because I just felt mine. And once you understand that, then you can get on with it. When we were sitting at the White House Conference Center talking about sustainability, I used the same scenario. Hold on. Let's not talk about just train acquisition workforce and they're going to do green. Whoa. We can't just say that. Well, we can, but that's fluff. If we're going to take that to the next level, then how are we going to train and educate so that same CO who's struggling just with 8 procedures understands when you start driving him in another direction with sustainability? First off, what are you talking about when you say sustainability? So, I mean, and then I took them. The audience was key senior officials, the same folks that give us the oversight, give us the feedback to say, okay, let me give them just a little bit of what we're dealing with. And I took them right down the same path. I talked about our inexperienced workforce. I talked about the fact that it just can't be training. There has to be some cross on-the-job training experience. There has to be an education piece of this, and you have to have a balance and perspective at the end of the day. And, oh, by the way, it's not a quick process. Doesn't happen in 2 to 3 weeks. It takes years to grow that. And then dealing with succession planning, the people that you're bringing in, as well as the people that are currently in the workforce now, tooling them the right way. You say, Mr. Taylor, what does this have to do with schedules? It has everything to do with schedules. Think about your relationship with your COs. If fundamentally you don't have the right relationship and communication going on, I don't care how good your offer is, how detailed and meticulous it is, if the receiver is not receiving the information and understanding what to do with it, you are still at a disadvantage. Then we start pushing back on what we hear all the time. Well, the system is broken, or I didn't receive it, or the policy won't allow me to do that. And that's always that's a comfort zone too. This policy won't allow me to do it. You see, behavior, that is a natural thing. People will do that. And if you plug in performance measurements and they're the wrong thing, you'll also get the wrong behavior. Another critical point. You know, when we look at schedules across the board, I want to really zero in on the people piece, and then I want to talk a little bit about the systems side of where we are right now. We've embarked on, but I need to stop for 1 second here. 2 years ago, maybe, Larry, maybe a year and a half ago, I have to think, it was at a coalition, so I'm sidebarring. I am stepping back for a second because I have to inject this. I remember that I was sitting out there, and there was a gentleman who was doing what I'm doing right now, and he said, "Where is Waldo? Is Houston Taylor in the audience?" I'm thinking, who is that guy? I don't remember who it was speaking, but I'm like, I don't know him. So I ended up being that backside of the Waldo joke. So I do know that there's another Waldo in the audience today. Where is Robin Bohr at? Hi, Robin. And so there is my new Waldo. But I told Robin yesterday, I said, Robin, you remember that, don't you? I didn't know where the guy was coming from, but he, I guess I was being searched for a question or something. So if we have other questions down the road, we can always tap into Waldo over here. He's here for our convenience. Thank you. You know, when we think about where we're going, I want you guys to know from a system perspective, it is another journey, 5-10 years down the road. There are things we are doing right now to move forward. Digitization, for example. We had our test. Test or test, that means you hope to find things. If you're thinking it's all going to work, not. There were things that need to be improved. We recognize that. We need to migrate over to that. And a key touch point here is when we talk enterprise acquisition solution, digitization is a piece of it. Electronic offers is a piece of it. You guys know that Chris Forniker and his group have put together as a big blue contract, a 10-year deal. We're trying to put on one platform everything that's operating. That's a real challenge. 98, CCR, FedBizOps. There are about 9 of them. I only gave you 3. Migrating all that into one platform, that's a huge task. You need to take it on. Then you have enterprise acquisition solutions where we're operating at. Working very closely with Liz. Here's a shift mentally on that. It can't be a system driving process. Got to flip that. Can't be the system driving the process. That doesn't work neither. See, it can't be Liz, as CIO, saying it's her process. Liz should be developing on the development piece. We have to own that from an acquisition management perspective because that ties right back into what you guys do. And we're doing that. We're in the process of doing that right now under the enterprise acquisition solution. It is about moving digitization. It is about moving e-mods over, e-offers. We're going to go there. We're moving in that direction. It is about taking Gold Star that is moving very, very well, where we can have, you know, if you've made exceptions to your T's and C's, having that visibility there. If you've heard Steve Leeds speak, he is our senior sustainability officer. He talks about a green, not what we take off the schedule, but greening the schedule and what that really means. And when we talk about sustainability and where we're going, shift also fundamentally on services. There is a tendency to think we're just talking about products. I'm here to tell you, much broader than that. Much broader than that when you start talking about services and sustainability. It will be part of the mass portfolio. It will drive at some point changes in the FAR. That will happen. Will it add another provision and clause? Well, probably. It's part of what happens. If you start trying to drive change in behavior, legislation starts getting into the middle of it. So that is all in the movement right now. A lot happening across the whole spectrum. Let me spend a little bit of time in that whole area of schedules. Also, you know, the president yesterday signed, I think, Larry, you guys also had a note of it in your update on the small business piece. Again, more relationships, more communication, more collaboration. Schedules is a great thing. $38 billion here, $9 billion with the VA. That is success. People love success. They love the schedules. Along with that visibility comes an opportunity. They will look at schedules, are looking at schedules right now and how they can drive additional touch points in the socioeconomic environment. We don't set aside on schedules. We have 30-something percent, I think, of our suppliers are small, or certainly the volume last year. They had a great year. A lot of that, though, comes back into the relationships with large business and small business, not just prime, but they're sub. So we have to tell that story better, and we have to keep telling that story better. If we don't, see, if we don't tell the story and you have this muscle between the ears, if we don't fill it up, they will fill it up for you. So we have to fill that up. That is a charge with industry. That's a charge with GSA. It's something we need to do to be more forward-thinking, to sit down and talk and make sure that we're telling the success story the right way, because there is success in that. We certainly know, whether it be strategic sourcing, sustainability, you will start getting this dimensional conversation about, well, let's tie in some type of preference. We just need to be very cognizant of the environment that we're operating in and continue to push the successes that we have and stay open to that. In the same vein of relationships, I want to talk about the oversight piece, the Inspector General, and our role and our relationship as GSA and yours as suppliers. I know that schedule holders get a lot of touchy-feely and maybe more touchy-feely than you want sometime from inspectors knocking at your door, asking you questions. I understand what that is. But we have to work that relationship again. Here's what's not going to happen. The oversight piece, as stewards of the tax dollars, they don't go away. I say that we have to engage and manage risk, and in some cases attack risk, because if you don't attack risk, it will come at you anyway. And I'm in no way implying that the IG is someone to attack, but I am saying that we need to sit down and talk with them, have upfront, candid discussions. There will always be reviews conducted. They forecast just like any other business entity. They don't just wait for something to happen. So in that process, we need to be upfront with the IG and say, where are areas that we can collectively engage in and have that kind of dialogue and discussion? And that's part of where we are. That's one of the things I got to say Steve Kemp started, and I'm certainly going forward with that, where we sit down monthly, sometimes weekly, and really have the day-to-day dialogues. And, you know, they're work sessions. They're not where we come around the table and put up slides and chit-chat. Their work sessions, and that is where it has to be at. That is the type of relationship that acquisition management needs to have with the Inspector General, because they have a job to do, and they will continue to be charged to do that. We will always be looked at through a different filter when you are the IG. That's not going to change. What I'm submitting to you is that we have to drive them in an area where it's going to do us the best good, where we get the leverage from them. And when we don't reach agreement, and that will happen on findings in a report, that we find what that compromise is. We understand what the compromise is. The most specific example right now that's really, really a touch point deals with pricing and the documentation associated with pricing when you get into schedules. A lot of sensitive touch points on what constitutes, you know, that fair market price, what you can use in the evaluation of that pricing as far as experience is concerned. Do you roll it in? Do you not roll it in? Different views of that. How you process, if you're a CO, making a business call on pricing, you have tools. We have our finance piece. They're a tool. The IG is actually a tool, and legal is a tool, but they're tools that the CO needs to know how to use properly to be able to engage. So somehow that all comes back to, at the end of the day, training and your workforce, and you start to see how all of this ties together at some point, and keeping all that on the radar. It's always going to be a challenge when we deal with that, but it is part of what we do. I want to grab my notes. I really want to make sure I hit a couple points. Certainly on the, I don't know what discussion you guys have had, but on the blue panel advisory, you know, we are still working that. There's certainly not going to be I'm not going to deliver any bombshells in here as far as what we're doing with the panel. We need more analysis. We need more data. We're going to continue to work that area, and we'll see where that goes in the future. Keep that in mind. There were good things that were built into the recommendations. The takeaway here is to be able to take the lessons there or the input there and populate that into what we're doing right now. into our business processes, into our policy changes, and then move that forward. And I think that's the behavior you need to look for from a policy perspective, taking what's in there, what we can use, if there's nuggets in there, and there are, and tying that back into our day-to-day operation. There is a push right now with transparency. You know, Mr. Zients came out with a transparency letter on the 26th of April, talked about opening up dashboards at the, I want to say it's the OMB Max system. I encourage you guys to take a look at it, because guess whose data to a certain degree will be up there. They don't want my information. They already got that. It is about this transparency piece, and you hear that term over and over and over. So you're going to drive information in there. They're going to look to GSA, they'll look to schedules to post information. Specifically in his document, he talks about post-award information. He talks about contract numbers, subcontracting information. So there's, and he's tasked all senior agency heads to move out by this October. That's velocity. That's a lot happening quick. Not quite sure what impact that's going to have on us from a policy perspective. But the directive is out there. And so trying to, I certainly wouldn't say get in front of it, but certainly trying to gauge what that does to you guys going forward. So keep that in mind, because it's flowing into, it seems to be taking on a life of its own, particularly when we talk about information and what's available. Data. I've had the pleasure of meeting G. Young Parks, and if you guys have not, I certainly encourage you guys, the coalition in particular, to get her here, sit down and talk with her. She is the Office of Small Business, and she is an appointee. Very engaged individual. Very engaged when it comes to schedules. She's pulled me to the side numerous times. We actually signed an MOA, a memorandum of agreement with her, dealing with the role of FAS, the ACs, the regions, the competition advocates, and where she wants to go from a small business perspective, utilizing the different tools, in this case, the schedules. Very dynamic, engaging individual. Understand that she has really taken the relationship to another level. You know, Mary Parks retired here a few weeks ago. G. Young actually had us over as part of the panel engaging on what is the right fit? Who do we want working on a day-to-day basis when we talk schedules, when we talk about goals, when we talk about the relationship piece? Huge. She understands schedules. She understands the business model. She gets it. We want to engage her collectively. So I solicit you guys, and I say, hey, lean forward with that from an industry's perspective. We're certainly doing it in QV right now, sitting down with her, framing that structure, and, you know, what can schedules, how can schedules help you? How can we help? And every chance I get, if I can work the workforce into that, I do. And driving, because this is, you know, that's part of the world we live in. Socioeconomics is part of the world we live in. So that's going to be there. I know that last week we had a summit that Robin led in Chicago with a lot of the centers. And a real touch point is on the life of schedules, the evergreen clause is known as, and where we go. We have not reached a final decision on what we're doing. I had a long discussion with the boss. Me and Steve have talked about it. You know, he's got white papers in front of him. He's a quick read. He's certainly a very, very quick study. He has his view of things. We have not made a final decision on what we're going to do. Again, think about processes, systems, and then the behavior. None of that can be left out when we talk about the evergreen. Because if you start tweaking something right now and the behavior gives you an unintended consequence, then you've got a problem with your task order, you've got a problem with your schedule. So we have to think very, very, we got to do critical thinking through that. And I think we've made some steps. I know what we've looked at doing, trying to have some type of life to continue on. There are systems issues associated with the contract numbers. If you migrate over
understanding what the capabilities of the system, what we can and cannot do. If you've got task orders out there, how does that migrate over? Complex, critical discussion. Easy, no. Fun, yes, because I like having those type of discussions. That's tough. That's what we get paid to do, is come through and think through those. We're on the clock, guys, and we know that. We'll have a solution. I think when you see what we come with, it will be the best fit. We've done the SWOT analysis. We know where the strengths are. We know where the weaknesses are. We know the opportunities, and we know the threats. We have that in front of us. The deliverable at the end of the day, I think, is going to be the one that is gives us that center of balance, that perspective where you can look and say, okay, I understand it. I understand it from a policy side, a customer side. I understand it from a contracting officer side. But I would like to think that we'll have a solution for you that puts us in front of that. One of the things that came out of the advisory panel, contracts online, is huge. You know, Martha has certainly talked about advancing us in technology. If you guys are going to Expo next week, you know, there's tweeting going on. There's all kind of upfront, real live and in-person feedback that we'll be playing. All of this fits into where we're going in this world of exploiting technology, and contracts online is no exception. No exception to it. But the subset to that is, before we jump into that, think about this whole thing with digitization. I know Ed O'Hara was here this morning. Ed's one of the test pieces for this. IT is huge. Here's what can happen. We can't just think of digitization as you creating PDF files for contracts and loading them in one big, long, continuous string. That won't work. It's more than just putting a paper file into something electronic. Thinking through that, and there are different worlds, whether it be just, there's the schedule piece of this, there's the Align piece, the GWAC piece, all of that has to move in that same direction. So striking that balance is where we are there. That is going to happen. We haven't migrated over totally, but the test piece is out there. I want to kind of also say, with you guys here, continue to give us feedback. I extend myself to the coalition. That's important. I need the vendors to use us. I need the agencies to use us. That is what we're here for. Give us good, strong, candid feedback when we're not working it. But I want to leave you guys with understanding that collaboration, communication, driving that kind of behavior is what this is about. Can't just be another piece of paper. Can't be another IL pushed out. It cannot just be another training package and everybody walks away. We will not work like that. So we have shifted into another mold. And I thank you guys. It's been a great, great opportunity. I hope you enjoy the rest of your events. And just a plug for Expo, if you're down in Orlando next week, give me a shout out. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate the idea of the collaboration and communication. In regard to the OIG, we've been in a situation where we've kind of come to a stalemate. We've actually been working on something for 18-plus months on 30, 60, 120-day extensions, and it seems to be that there's a difference in between the CEO making a business decision and the OIG disagreeing with that. And so, consequently, we're kind of here. So I like the idea of they, along with us, they need to be able to collaborate with one another and come to a conclusion. But if you get into a situation where there's just a fundamental disagreement, what suggestions might you have on what the system might be able to do in the future?
Well, first, 18 months is a long time. Boy, you're talking about space. You see, that's that. See what gets filled in between the ears if you do. See, that's that dealing with risks. If you've got a contract and you haven't been able to come to some type of resolution, on a labor rate, and I don't even need to know what the issue is. Because now I already know what's happening. Who's driving the train? I figure I kind of know where this would go. Because no business decisions are being made. And you see, folks, because now I have to go somewhere else. You see what has happened here? This is when a fear steps into business decisions. If you are operating off of fear of what will happen, if I sit down with you and you give me good rationale on why your labor rate needs to be where it is, I'm looking at, well, we're not going to get into cost buildup, but I look at your rationale for what you want to do. I think it makes sense. I'm not operating off the gut. I've got some indexes. I've got a little bit of market research in front of me. It's a fundamental. I can see this. Everybody won't agree, but I can see this. There's no reason that you don't move forward. The behavior that you're talking about is CEOs have a fear of making a decision because something is going to happen to them. There is no silver bullet for that. The bullet is taking that workforce, taking a step back and saying, hold on. Number one, you can't have performance measurements to a human being where you're going to get pinged for making decisions. Now I've tapped into a whole performance thing. Is that just the wrong way to think about the career field? You know, guys, what is happening here? Part of the reason we're losing workforce, CEOs don't want to stay. They don't want to stay in the career field. They're burning out at a rapid pace. They talk to me all the time. Is it, Mr. Taylor? I don't want to have to tell stories like you of 1985. Well, but you know what? It was fun. You grow in that process. If you have real issues, to your point, I would like to hear some of that. Because quite frankly, I do have a relationship with the IG and I need to continue to engage. So part of that is what we bring to the table. Like I said, we sit down and we roll up the sleeves, and I do. I work very closely with Ken Crompton. I sit down and I negotiate with Ken. Okay, I negotiate what's in Ken. What are we saying here? Here's what I can do. Here's what I can't do. I've got a few nuggets, guys, that I didn't drop on you on that whole pricing thing because I think I know where I need to go with that. But when the time is right, I will bring it to you. If you've got something like that, I would like to find a little bit of background because it does help me when I'm sitting down having discussions with Ken. And I do that regularly. I do that regularly. And so I have a relationship with him as a professional. First is Ken as a professional, and then we get into the IG, and then I take on the AC piece of it. So let me know about that. Not going to tell you, I'm going to get you a direct answer, and your mind's going to get signed, but it can set us up. We got to plant some seeds and got to keep working that.
Probably do one more.
Yeah, I call the silver bullet for me attacking the risk and dealing with the IG. That means I have to sit down with them. That CO is not going to change their behavior that he's talking about there. And doing congressionals.
So your phone number is?
Well, but Larry knows my phone number. I get them all the time. I get the call from the Hill all the time. You know what? I had a congressional yesterday. A guy says, Mr. Taylor said. And I sort of kind of said what he put in the letter. That's okay. The silver bullet is a total effort of collaboration, communication, and is nothing that you're... That behavior is not going to change. What is that, a year and a half? That's not going to change. There's no policy letter that's going to go out and make that person come to work. Okay, let me do the mod today. Well, we'll be here next year, and it'll be 26 months. No, I hope not neither. Because actually now, I have a vested interest just to a certain point. To just see, understand where that is, to try and move some of that along.
So you end up taking certain things off the schedule,
which hinders everyone, right? And you walk away from your schedule, which some people have to do. See, those are kind of workarounds, aren't they, though? It's not really addressing the issue.
Exactly. Because once a CEO gets into disagreement with, once I get into involved, they have to
Yes, tough environment. Tough, and you know, sure.
I'm not, you know what? It is the bus ride. I stood up and took the licking. They're not going to do that right now. You're not seeing that behavior. Look at the IG reports. You guys are really feeling it as suppliers. Look, I know calls don't get returned. I know there are extensions on top of extensions. I know that. I know you ride labor rates for a long time, and long, I'm not even going to try and define. And then when it comes, when you do reach an agreement, your costs haven't stayed flat. I mean, there's some fundamental business here that's going on. Your costs haven't stayed flat. There is a point where you're saying, hey, look, I've been a good partner here for the last 2.5 years riding these labor rates, for example. I'm not trying to get fat on you, but gosh, work with me on this. You know, you can't just hit me with an escalation that hasn't even caught up with inflation. See, I understand that that's going on. And then you start doing what you're talking about. Oh, drop the labor category, maybe even drop the schedule. That's not where we want to be, folks, and that's the box we're in. So, again, we got to continue to work. I will say this, when you got those kind of issues, please keep, it shouldn't be just a 2010 spring conference. Keep floating that stuff up. Keep floating that stuff up, because I have to work it from my role. That CO is not going to have the relationship that I have to have. I have to help them out. That is my job. I am charged with that. And I will do that. Quick, no. But we have to start somewhere, because you are still at a point where there's no resolution. Okay? Make sure I do get that information, though.
Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Larry.